thank you for joining me on another episode of Next Bite of Life podcast. Today, I have somebody who is an expat in Bermuda. Her name is Glenda Jack, and her website is called comewithg.com. Let's get to know her a little bit better. Hi. Hi, Glenda.
Hi, Kem. Oh, thank you very much for inviting me to take part in your podcast. Actually, it's the first time I'm doing...
Oh, yeah?
Yes, it's the first time I'm doing a podcast. And,
oh, nice.
Great.
Let's hope you enjoy it. Start...
Yes, I'm looking forward to interacting with you. I wanted to try doing podcasting myself, and as with many of my other projects, they're still on ice. But thankfully, I've gotten my blog off and going. So that has been ongoing for about 2 years now, a little over 2 years. And it's a travel blog, as you know.
Yes. How does it feel? So you've been doing that for 2 years, and how long have you been in Bermuda?
Oh, I have been in Bermuda in, let's go back. Okay. I first came to Bermuda in 2002, so I stayed up to 2013. When my work permit, when my work permit was not renewed then, I took a break and I was making a long scenic way back to Trinidad and Tobago. I was supposed to take a break and go and do travel. Anyway, within a month or less than a month, I found my way to Cayman Islands, where I stayed there for about 7 years, and came back to Bermuda last year, April. I came back at the third week in April, just after my birthday. And I've been here, and you know, if we all had a crystal ball, and we could have known where that COVID-19 would have hit, would I have made the decision? I don't know. The opportunity, as with everything else in my life, serendipity, I didn't deliberately go seeking out. It's just being in the right place at the right time and raising my hands, and the rest is history.
Wow. So it's absolutely amazing. So you're originally from Trinidad and Tobago. You've been an expat in Bermuda. Yes. You've been an expat in the Cayman Islands. I mean, three islands that people will just give their right arm to live in. And you're just like, you're just naming them like la-di-da, you know.
Yeah, living in these paradises.
I know. It's amazing. Yeah. As well as, you've also lived in the States, right?
I have a green card, but I spend a lot of time in the States, but I wouldn't say I put down roots. Okay. I did live in Canada too for 4 years when I went to university. So, but I do have the option of going back to the States.
Okay. Now let me ask you this. I know it's probably very hard to choose. If you had to choose one of those islands, which one would you say was your absolute favorite?
Oh, hands down, Bermuda.
Really? Wow. Yes. I know it's gorgeous. Yes. I mean, I've been there. I've got a friend, my best friend lives there, and I've been there like three times, I think, to visit them over the years. And I absolutely love it. It's gorgeous. The beaches are just amazing, you know? So I can understand, but I haven't been to the Cayman Islands. I haven't been to Trinidad and Tobago, so I can't compare, but for sure I know that Bermuda is absolutely gorgeous.
It is a very pretty island. It's very clean and very scenic. The downside of Bermuda is the weather. I would say up to last week we were having like wind and cold. We're still, of course, weather and temperature is relative, right? But we're still trying to get out of the high 60s. today's a nice day. It probably will get into the 70s, but no, yeah, it's 70 right now. And
nice.
Mm-hmm. So
do you get tornadoes and hurricanes. Oh, yeah, hurricane. I know hurricane season is terrible there.
Yes. Hurricane season is from June to November.
Uh-huh.
And last year we had a bit of a scary one. And I'm saying, oh my gosh, why did I come back here, Umberto? We did get a hit. And where I live, it was very, very, very strong. We got very, very strong winds, but there wasn't much damage. The houses the houses are built to withstand strong hurricanes. That was a Cat 4, I think. And I believe the houses are built to withstand Cat 5 hurricanes.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. And of course, Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. No, you go ahead.
No, I was just about to segue into saying, of course, living in a place like Bermuda, it is very, very expensive. Very expensive here. It's one of the most expensive places to live in the world.
Good. I'm glad you touched on that. You know, tell us a little bit more about the cost of living. I know like a lot of people think about moving there. You know, it sounds great. It's beautiful. It's got all those things. But I know firsthand just how expensive it is. How much would you say, like, let's just, you know, for instance, a one bedroom apartment, if you can find one, how much would you say that would cost?
A one bedroom apartment in Bermuda, again, it also depends on location. I would say you're looking at anything from 1,500, 2,000 US and upwards.
Wow.
Does that sound crazy to you?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I mean, I know like the last time I went there, it's going to be quite a few years now, we went to a Chinese restaurant and because, you know, it's an island, everything pretty much has to be brought in. So the prices reflect that. And I remember the Chinese restaurant till today, like some 10, 15 years later, we still talk about it. Like it was so expensive. And you think, wow. And it wasn't even like that great, but it's just that, you know, you have to pay. You have to pay for it.
Yes, you do. And everything is imported. Yeah. Food, a lot of the food is imported. So if that ship does not come in, we don't get a lot of stuff. But one thing, after leaving and coming back after 7 years, I have noted that there is an agriculture industry that's emerging. So for instance, during this lockdown, which we will talk about, after, I have been able to get vegetables from a work colleague who doesn't live too far from me. So she has supplied me with kale, other types of greens, collard greens, curly kale, rainbow kale, cabbage, tomatoes from another one. So there is an emerging agricultural industry here, and a lot of people are doing their own kitchen gardening.
Great.
Right. Wow. And you now have quite a bit of farmers markets scattered all over the island.
Wow. Now that's different. Yeah, that's great.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I was so surprised that after coming back here after 7 years to see that you can get so much agricultural, local agricultural produce. Before, it would have been only Bermuda carrots and onions. Now you get a wide variety of vegetables and potatoes. I think that's potatoes and carrots are probably the main root vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And for the last 2 weeks, I have another friend who lives next to someone who does gardening, and he planted a whole lot of zucchini. So nice. I had zucchinis in all forms. So we were joking, was it yesterday or sometime soon? I don't know which I've done more for the last 3 weeks or so, whether it's Zoom calls mm-hmm. or zucchinis in all kinds of varieties. Zucchini and Zoom.
Yeah, exactly. Z's. All the Z's go together. And now you're on a podcast that starts with a Z.
Yes, 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 yes.
Now, does the price go down? I mean, since it's being grown on the island, is it better price than going into the pharmacy? I mean, to the pharmacy, into the market, like the grocery store to get it?
Actually, some things are cheaper, but of course, the cost of growing, I'm sure, would be expensive because mm-hmm. initially you would have to import the seeds.
Yeah, yeah.
The seedlings and stuff. But it's reasonable. Even if it's the same price or slightly higher, I would buy it because it's fresh. It yeah. doesn't take 2, 3, 4 weeks to come on a barge.
Yes.
And it's more organic and natural.
Yes. Because, and you're supporting yeah. the local. Yeah, exactly.
Supporting the local. And yeah. and you can actually talk to the farmers and find out what, if they have used herbicides and pesticides and, you know, growth hormones for yeah. their crops. Whereas when you buy import food, you don't know. It may be certified organic, but you really don't know. You really don't exactly. know. So I'm really, really happy to see that there is that aspect of it.
Nice. Now, living on that island, of course, you know, being from Trinidad and Tobago and being, you know, having lived in the Cayman Islands, do you ever feel like you get island fever? Because I know, like, my best friend, for instance, she often goes away, visit family in New York. You know, we went to school in Boston, so it was just like a 45-minute hop and skip away to shop or what have you. Do you find yourself going crazy sometimes on the island, thinking it's small?
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. But the fact that I have in the green card, I travel to New York that often, very often, or Miami. Mm-hmm. So now I am getting cabin fever.
Yeah.
But previously I would have traveled every month, every 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and I would have scheduled longer vacation.
Mm-hmm. So thanks to the coronavirus, right?
Yes, yes. And I'm taking it in stride. I am taking it in stride. I am appreciating so many things that I never appreciated before. And yeah. I spend so much time at my window just looking out at the water because I live yeah. in Flats Village. I don't know if you...
No, I don't.
Where you visited here, it's like
she lives in Hamilton, I think.
Okay, that's right. So that's a middle parish as well. So, and you're not anywhere you live on the island of Bermuda, you're not far from the water. So
exactly.
That is so relaxing, and I always, always loved being by the water. When before I moved from Trinidad, I lived by the water. When I came to Bermuda, lived in Southampton Parish, I could have seen the water. The beach was not far.
Mm-hmm.
Cayman Islands, I lived on 7 Mile Beach.
They just want to be close to the water, right?
Yes, yes. It's so good for my mental well-being.
Yeah.
So good for my when mental well-being.
Yeah. The one thing we can definitely say about the virus is that it really has forced everybody to just slow down and smell the flowers, so to speak. Like, you can't really go anywhere. I know Bermuda doesn't really have a whole lot of cases.
Actually, we do have quite a few, a lot of cases. We
for do the size for, of the country, yeah.
For the size. So
yeah.
The latest count is 114.
Wow.
And 7 deaths.
Okay.
Which is very high for such a small population of almost 63,000.
Yeah. Now, did they, when did you become aware that this was going to be like a world emergency, basically? Like, you know, when did it become real for you that you were like, okay, now things have changed and we have to get used to this?
It would have been at the very beginning of March, because okay. I was planning a trip to Europe
okay.
this year. And my birthday is April 12th, and I had planned to be in Monaco on oh, that nice. Very day. Yeah. Oh. To see the Monaco Masters 1000. I don't know if you're aware, I'm a big tennis freak.
Oh, I didn't not know that, that.
Yes, not that I play, but I love watching tennis. And you're from Spain. You live in Spain, so
I used to love watching it. And you know, but now the young'uns.
Can you guess who's my favorite player?
Let's see, Nadal.
Of course.
You and millions of people, huh? So you had been hoping to see him, huh?
I've seen him. I've seen him play quite a few times. I even have at the US Open probably about 11 years ago. I saw him play. I got one of the balls that he played with nice. At the end when they throw the ball up into the air.
So you're like super fan, know, yeah?
I know. I don't know whose eyes I gouged out to get that ball, but I did get it.
It
has traveled everywhere.
Wow, that's so amazing.
I still have it. So I was planning to do that, and I had everything already organized. A friend of mine who lives in London, she was mm-hmm. going to join me for part of the trip.
Yeah.
I was going to do London, Zurich, Paris, Monaco. And well, if you're in Monaco, you might as well skip over to Nice or
of course.
Cannes. So I would have been, it would have been a 2-week holiday. But then this thing just started accelerating. And we were discussing it and said, okay, well, maybe let's not do find other cities in Europe that where it is not, the virus isn't that bad. But every day or every hour we kept checking, it seems as if everywhere it's blowing up everywhere. So we said, okay, if you make, this was towards the end of February or mid-February, if you make your way to London, maybe we'll just go to Scotland and that's it, you know.
Exactly.
Stay in London, go up to Scotland. But then things started deteriorating. Our government here banned incoming flights that's when they started to ban incoming flights from China. Mm-hmm. Well, not flights, but people who would have traveled to China, Spain, Italy, Japan, South Korea, people who would have been in those areas before coming to Bermuda, because of course the only direct flights we have are from the US, UK, and Canada. You don't have direct flights from other places. Well, that's one of the things I miss too, living in Cayman Islands. It's so close to the Caribbean that you can, island hopping is much, much easier. But Bermuda being in the middle of the Atlantic, you don't have much of a choice than to go to these metropolis. If you want to get the island vibe, you have to go pass through the States. Anyway, back to why I changed my mind. So then I said, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to cancel this vacation regardless of if I get a refund on my Airbnb or not. My health is more important than money. So I canceled and I didn't even inquire about refunds then. You know, I just canceled, went on working, and I think, or I have a voucher for British Airways, and Airbnb refunded me my, I think, the Zurich and the Monaco. And we hadn't really booked hotels for Paris or anywhere else. And I was going to stay at a friend in London. So in terms of financial loss, it hasn't been that bad.
Oh, that's good, because I know a lot of people had that problem. We got lucky in that we were able to get a refund, because we had to make our way back from Sicily, like, boom. And we were lucky enough to get refunded by Airbnb and the two airlines we had booked tickets and canceled on. And we had, like, probably four or five flights. Like, I kept booking, and then it would be canceled, and then booked and canceled. So I wasn't worried about it at that point. We just wanted to get out. But once once we got back home, it wasn't a problem to get refunded. And then I saw later on everybody complaining because they're getting vouchers or they're not getting refunded at all. And I was just like, we missed out on one day. I think Airbnb gave us, like, you know, the rest of the days back, but not for one night, which was fine. And, you know, because they had to talk to the host, and it was fine with, I was fine with that, but everything else went really smoothly. So I'm glad that we were able to, like, work something out, because it would have been devastating if I had to. I don't need vouchers for many of them. I just, you know, I just wanted to get home and do.
Exactly. Yes.
So once you got home, once you realize that you weren't going anywhere for a while, then you had to cancel the plans and then adjust to the new lockdown procedures, right? Tell us about like, what is lockdown like there?
So the lockdown procedures, as I said, at first, it was the banning of people coming from traveling from those countries that who would have traveled recently from those countries. That was the first phase of handling the problem. And then we had the government mandated that any flights hadn't stopped as coming in as yet, but anyone coming in would have had to self-quarantine for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Right. And then that didn't seem to be working too well, because people, there were reports of people who were supposed to be self-quarantining, started being seen all over the place. And then there was one weekend where, this is towards the end of March, I think, where the police went check-in and didn't find at least 30-something people at home where they were supposed to be. And the excuse was, you know, we didn't know that you could not have gone out in your car and taken a drive. We went for a drive. But so then the next step was to have quarantining in to quarantine in government approved facilities.
Okay.
So any flights that came in, the passengers had to quarantine for 2 weeks at government-approved facilities where they were not allowed to leave. Of course, they were monitored. I don't know if it's by the regiment, or, but they could not have left. And by and large, I think that was observed. Let's say, I think it was up to mid-March, we were still working, going to the office, working split shifts, you know, one, reduce capacity at the office or reduce bodies at the office. So we had two shifts, one set of employees coming in from 7 to 12 and the other set coming in from 1 to 6. That went on for about a week. And then there were a few other people who were there all day, and that included me. I had to go in from 7 to 6. Wow. And then the cases started getting more and more. And the government, when the employers or the chambers met with the government, I think the government strongly suggested or implored the employers to have people work from home. If you're working in an office, you might as well work from home. Yeah. So we went in on Monday, the 23rd of March, and we were told by 3 p.m., everybody needs to be out of the office and working from home. I was prepared for that because I already had my laptop, Citrus on my laptop. And I was prepared for that. There, not everybody was prepared, but somehow within a few hours, everybody had to have been prepared to work from home, because if you didn't work from home, that means you're not productive. Where I work with a profit-driven organization. It's a law firm. So, you know, you don't work. You don't
that comes first, have time.
Yes. So, and so we've been working so from home since then. Next week, we will be going into the 7th week. And if you had read the blog, I think it would have been my second blog on this topic. A state of emergency was declared to control the movement of people and the spread.
Now,
by then we would have been over 50 or so, and the state of emergency was declared, which meant basically under curfew, you could not be out between the hours of 7 p.m. Yes?
Well, you can still go out during the day, like, you know, you're not restricted with care or exercise or anything?
You could only go out to the pharmacy, the supermarket, or the gas station.
Gotcha.
And it depends on your last name. So there are... It's divided up into 3A to whatever, split the alphabet into three. So, and that still is in effect, even though it has eased a bit. Now the curfew hours is between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m.
So, you know, they're really trying to, have the numbers held steady as far as you know, or are they going down or are they going up?
We had an unfortunate situation whereby there was a cluster infection where probably almost close to 40 people in a senior care home became infected. And that is going to be under a lot of investigation. So that the numbers, the first cases were in about 23, a group of 23, which shot, you know, which increased the numbers tremendously. I think it is up to 40 now. I will need to double check that. But that cluster from the senior citizen, senior care home. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot of imported cases. Because Bermuda is doing is not having, is repatriating Bermudians who are stranded abroad. So people who, students, yes, special flights.
Okay.
Charter flights, yeah. So it would include students, people who may have been on vacation, people who went away to do business, people who were on vacation. They are trying to get them back. So far, I think they have gotten back people from the US and from Europe who would come through the UK.
Yeah.
And so there have been three special flights, I think three so far from the UK, bringing in, every time it comes in, it would bring in excess of 100 people. There were two or three flights that came in from the US, and then people are also arranging Uber jets to get back. But of course, it's a very strict criteria. You need to go online and complete forms. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it's 31 minutes already when I'm really enjoying it.
You were very happy that you didn't go on your trip. Otherwise, you would have had to be scrambling for a space on one of those flights back.
One of those flights. And as soon as those people come back, they also are tested and quarantined. And so we have a lot of cases from those people and other cases of close contacts for people who would have, the first set of people, close contacts. But there hasn't been a lot of community spread, and that's why we have the restrictions.
You know, it sounds like, you know, they're doing the best thing that they can for everybody, which is all you can ask for. There are no people out on the street, you know, rebelling like they are in the U.S. Everybody's kind of we're all in this together attitude, which is just mind-boggling to me. I wouldn't even get into that because that's a whole different subject with what's going on in the U.S. But it seems like, I know in Spain, with my mother-in-law in Italy, everybody's sort of like, they just want to like work towards getting rid of this virus and moving on.
Exactly.
Like this, everybody doing their own thing and this just chaotic scenes that are going on there. So I'm really happy to hear that. Now, I'll round up the interview with we'll take a step back towards being an expat again. And I want to know if you have any advice for somebody who's thinking about the expat life, maybe moving to Bermuda. Yeah, we know it's very expensive there, but for how did you, you know, achieve that? Like, what kind of advice do you have for somebody who wants to be an expat?
In Bermuda, the industries for expat would be in, first and foremost, it would be insurance.
Huh.
Yes.
Really? I would never picture that.
yes. Actually, it is the second largest insurance capital after Lloyd's. So you're looking at insurance, your finance, law, and those are the higher teaching and medical, in the medical field. And on the other spectrum, there would be opportunities for people in the hospitality industry. But with offshore industries or places like Bermuda and Cayman, it's always Bermuda first.
Of course.
And you cannot blame them for that. You cannot have a qualified, unemployed Bermudian and an expat filling a job for that. So so once you can you meet those criteria, you're medically and mentally fit.
And financially.
Yes, but the salaries compensate for the cost of living.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
So that's the best way to do it. You just can't say, you know what, I feel like being a digital nomad in Bermuda and head there, because you will be totally homeless pretty soon. You need to have all your ducks in a row, as I like to say. You need to prepare and know what you're going to be in for. But, you know, once you do make it, it's a great place to be.
Yes, and you also need to bear in mind, it's a place where you cannot purchase property.
I didn't know that.
Oh no, you cannot purchase in Cayman. You can, so that's why there's a big building boom going on there in Bermuda. No, foreigners cannot purchase property. There's only so much land, right?
Yeah, true.
And you don't have high-rise buildings and apartments and those things.
Yes, and it's one of the few places that doesn't allow the chains to come in with their restaurants and stuff, right? There's only
KFC.
Yeah. I remember thinking that. I go, how did this get here? You know?
Yeah, I think that was before 1984, before they had that 60-40 rule. Yeah, that's why.
Well, you know, Glenda, thank you so much for being on here today.
I want to mention
your website so people can check out your blog. It's called comewithg.com. So make sure and check it out. Come with G, right?
Yes. Even if you type in Google come with G, it should come up.
Okay, good.
But the exact name would be https://comewithg.blog.
Oh, dot blog, okay.
I don't know. No, scratch.
I think it's .com. I checked it. .com. Yeah. So once again, thank you for talking about Bermuda. It was great chatting with you. Well, there's our show for today. And once again, thank you so much for joining me on Next Bite of Life podcast. I hope you've been enjoying this series of interviews with people from all over the world. So Glenda, thanks again for joining me.